That good morning, praise God. We thank God for another good morning that God gives us to listen to His word. And I know, thank you for those who've been giving feedback and just of how the message is impacting their lives. And for that, I'm grateful, because at times you just carry on by faith and you believe that God's word has its power, and that is the truth. God's word is power, and whether someone accepts it, receives it, whether it's just one person that hears it, at times that is the difference that it needs. And I'll encourage you, if something is of importance you feel to someone else, please feel free to share it. This is God's word, and anytime Jesus broke the bread, when he broke the bread was given to the disciples. And the disciples broke it and gave it to the people who were seated. So there's a principle in that when God gives us revelation, it comes from Christ, and then it's broken to his disciples, to his servants. And his servants in turn teach others, and others teach others, and everyone partakes of the bread. Because I believe bread, which is Christ, he said, is the bread of life. He is enough to feed the whole world. And anytime you see God releasing bread, the house of bread, remember is Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the house of bread. And that is why Christ is born in Bethlehem. And he is a bread of heaven. And he says, I am that bread from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but I am that bread that came down from heaven, and anyone that eats me, shall never die. And they're like, what do you mean? Are you asking for cannibalism? Are you saying that are you older than Abraham? And those are encounters of Christ that are very powerful, and they're foundational to Christology, to the definition of who Christ is. It is foundational. I mean, when you read John chapter 6, chapter 7, where from that day many disciples left him, that is a breaking point. And even in this teaching that as we are going through, I know there are places you will get to and someone will actually walk away and then say, no, I don't accept this. I accept one thing, but I don't accept this. Why? Because there are heavy teachings, and there are things that actually God wants the church to understand. And even Jesus said himself that these things, I have so much to tell you, but these things are heavy. It's too much for you to bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he shall guide you into all truth. There is an all truth that God wants us to reach to. And I pray that God, giving the grace, he will allow us to walk into that maturity. Because there's a maturity of sonship that God wants us to understand. That he gave us Jesus as the pattern man. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. And that is just a foundational statement. And you see, the Bible is very unique in how it chooses its words. When it uses Jesus, when it uses Jesus of Nazareth, when it uses Christ, when it talks of the Spirit of Christ, when it speaks of the anointing, the gospel of Christ, it's more than we can bear in our capacity. But I know that God will give us the grace. And just to take us back, for someone who's joining us today, maybe for the first time, we've been looking at how God has been teaching, how God has been speaking. Hebrews chapter 1, and it says, Hebrews 1 verse 1, God who at sundry times, which is at many times, and in diverse manners, in different manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and has in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, and he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I've not been reading verse 4, but I think it's important. And of course, there's more there. And that is Christ's supremacy over angels, Christ's supremacy in the beginning. And I spoke how, I've taught how the word there speak, how God spoke is laleo. And that does not mean the full expression of speaking. That is speaking at the level that you understand. What does that mean? That the way you communicate to a child is different from the way you communicate to a teenager. And the way you communicate to a teenager is different from the way you communicate to a 30-year-old. So God has been speaking, and God chose to speak to the people in a way they could understand at that time. And that's why I keep telling you, us, that we have to think of two times: in the last days and in past times. So everything that we read in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament up to the point until Jesus Christ is crucified and he resurrects, I will consider that past times. Because even there is a way that Jesus will speak to his disciples in parables. But then when he speaks to the crowd in parables, and even to his disciples in parables, but then he explains to them clearly. And we also see there are parts where he says that from now onwards he started speaking to them plainly. That means there was a time that the revelation was hidden. But then he has now spoken to us through his Son. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So the full revelation of God that God expects us to have of him is his Son. That is Jesus Christ. And what does he say about Jesus Christ? He has about the Son. He has appointed heir of all things. Christ is the heir of all things. His Son, by the Son, by his Son, is the heir of all things, and whom he made the worlds. Now, Just the worlds there is the eons, like the dimensions of time, the dispensations of time, everything that concerns with time. And then, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, God, and I demonstrated it this way, that God is spirit, no eye has seen him, no one can see him and live. No one can know him. Or rather, we can know him only what he has chosen to reveal himself. Rather, even theology, rather those that study theology will tell you, is that it's an attempt to explain God, or rather to talk about God, in the belief that God has spoken about something about himself in the Bible. In that, even what we see in the Bible is just a component, is a small component of God that God has chosen to reveal about himself. And even what we are trying to teach or explain is just an attempt that what God has revealed about himself is what we can learn. And we see that, I think it's in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, where it says that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us and our children. So there are things that God has kept secret for himself, but there are things that he has revealed there for us and our children. Now, why do I say that? So now we can see that God has chosen to reveal himself through the Son. Who is the Son? The Son is Christ. The Son is Christ. Now, God was pleased to dwell in bodily form in all his fullness, the fullness of the Godhead. Colossians 1:27, the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in bodily form. That's why he says he came from the Father full of grace and truth. Ideally for us, we receive one measure of grace in place of grace, in that we are limited in the capacity of God that we carry at the moment. But there's a place where he says that my prayer is that Christ will dwell in you in all his fullness. So the prayer of Paul was that God will open the eyes of our understanding, that Christ will dwell in us. He has dwelt in us. He's in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we have not yet understood the full measure. we've not yet come to the full realization, the full anointing of the Son. Because the anointing of the Son, the anointing of the Christ, is that God dwelt in him in all his fullness, in his bodily form. And that's why you're told, don't you know that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That God dwells in you? And that is why you cannot take your body and unite it to a prostitute. Don't you know you carry God? You are one with him. The mystery of the fellowship, the mystery of koinonia, the mystery of the indwelling Spirit of God, that God dwells in you and you are in him. You are baptized into him, baptized into Christ. That is a mystery. Sorry. That is a mystery, that there is a union of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit brings the Father and brings Jesus and comes and makes his dwelling in us. As he said, he told his disciples, I will come and make my dwelling with you. And at the same time, we are baptized into him. So there is also a union that we are also in God, in Christ. Our lives are hidden in Christ and Christ is hidden in God. Now that takes only a lifting of the eyes, a lifting of the scale of the eyes to understand. But that is what, that is the revelation that I want us to keep at the back of our minds, that God has revealed himself through the Son, and the Son is the express image of his person. That means that if we ever wanted to see God, we just need to see the Son. And the Son here is Jesus Christ. If ever we wanted to know how God deals with man, how did God want man to live? How did God want Adam to exist? Because Adam was born an adult. Eh? He was created, not really even born, he was created an adult. And that is why he could not stand the test of the devil. But you see, Christ was born a child. Jesus was born a child and he grew in every aspect. You can see he grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. That means there is a growth that God expects of every believer. That as we encounter him, as we now are born into the kingdom of God, then we start to encounter him. We start to learn of him. Take my yoke and learn of me. Take, you know, yoke is union. Take the union of Christ. Take his burden, take his mind, take his weight, and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart. It is, and you will find rest for your souls. Anyway, let me not get carried away, but please, anything I say, dig it. There are more than sermons and multiple sermons you'll be hearing, and revelations that God will dig you further, and that is for you. That is for you. And if God is opening your eyes, just know you're blessed, because Jesus told his disciples, blessed are your eyes, for they see. The desire of my heart is that you can see. And this sight is insight. Sight into the Word of God. Sight into things in scripture that are beyond even what I'm saying. When it says you shall have more understanding than your teachers, you shall have more sight. That means that you will see beyond what I'm saying, because I'm limited by time. I'm limited by what I can say. I'm limited by utterance. I'm just a broken vessel. I'm just an earthen vessel like you and me. I'm just an earthen vessel, and we must understand that there is a treasure in each and every one of us that God has given us. And that treasure is what tells us, it's what sustains us. Our earthen vessels fail, and if you expect a man not to fail, you are expecting too much of him. If you're expecting a man not to fail, you're expecting too much of him. Peter even failed. And Paul has to tell him, my friend, you are a Jew, but you're acting like a Gentile. You can imagine Peter, with all his anointing, with all his healing, he gets to a point where he forgets that he's not supposed to segregate, and he has to be called out. And those are what we call blind spots. unless you have fellow believers who can call you out, unless your wife or your husband can actually tell you you're off and you accept it, you will be wrong. Because those things, yes, they are painful when they are said, but they are for your healing. When something is corrected in us, our first line is to defend it. But if we humble ourselves and reflect, then we'll be like, oh, actually, she was right. This is an area of repentance that I need to work on. This is an area of healing that I need to work on. My husband was right. And there's something that he's seeing that I don't see. Yes, I may have a point, but he also has a point. So God has created marriage for our healing. It's the same way God has given us the Holy Spirit for our healing. It is to reveal things. It is to expose things. It is to expose things that are contrary to his will in our lives. God has given us leaders and pastors for that, for our healing. That is why the word of God is for our washing. The healing of the blind man at the pool of Siloam, he was told, wash again. Wash again. Wash again. Anytime we don't see things clearly, anytime we go off in our revelation, in our understanding, it just tells us we need to just go back to the word for the washing. The washing of the word. Now, just to bring us back to where we are, we've been talking about the fathers, and the fathers are ideally three: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who is transformed to Israel. There are unique things about the fathers. I was just enjoying how God was downloading them to me, and he tells, and God was speaking how it is God that encountered them. You know, Abraham was a Chaldean. He was. They were moon worshippers. The family that he was, and you know, it's always interesting. Eh? I strongly believe that it is actually God wanted to call his father before Terah, because the Bible says that his father had started moving. And I think he dwelt in Ur instead of, he was started moving, but then he dwelt in Ur. And then I think they moved on to Haran. There's a place where they stayed before he actually now continued the journey. And his father's name is Terah. Terah means delay. So the guy delayed. And that's why you can see that Abraham's delays even in having a child. Like he has some connotations that are flowing even from his father. But you see, God has to call Abraham out of that. And if you read Genesis, I think it's 12, where he's called, the Bible says God had spoken to Abraham. That means that in the past, like, it seems like God had already spoken to Abraham before to leave his father and mother, you know, and to leave the land of his parents. And you see, the Bible says, and Abraham obeyed. So he gave him the promise. I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will increase you. I'll make your descendants. I will give you the land. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. And I'll make a nation out of you. And then God, one thing that he does, you know, when Abraham was called, he was an Aramean. Eh? He was a Chaldean, Aramean. But you see, there's a point where God calls him the Hebrew. There's along the way God changed his language and made a tribe out of him. And then another thing that God did is that he gave them a covenant, and God swore by himself. Now, I want you to link this with Christ. Remember how God calls Christ, Jesus. Huh? He calls Christ, he makes a new covenant. He says, behold, I make a new covenant. And it will not be like as the covenant that I made with the fathers in the time old where they could not obey. But I'm making a new covenant in which I will write the laws in their hearts. That means that there's a new tribe that Jesus carved out of God. There's a new anointing that God carved out of Christ.
And this new anointing has a new covenant. A new covenant in his blood. It has an external sign. Okay, Abraham was given an external sign of the covenant, which was circumcision. The new creation in Christ has an internal sign, which is also circumcision of the heart. Now, the flesh was cut out in the old covenant. In the new covenant, it is the sinful nature, the flesh, the cutting of the sinful nature, of the carnal nature that is cut out spiritually. And this you can read more in Colossians chapter 2. There's a cutting out of the carnal nature in the new creation. That means that the tendency, or rather the control of sin that Adam inherited, that we inherited from Abraham, is cut out in Christ. From Adam. Is cut out in Christ. And all the devil can do is give us temptations. He sends speakings. He sends ideas. He sends strongholds. He gives you Pharisees and robbers who will teach you that you cannot get to God in your prayer directly. He will give you robbers who will give you certain rules and limitations, certain traditions, certain doctrines of men, certain things that involve the voluntary piousness. They have an appearance of holiness, but they cannot really generate the righteousness that God expects of us. Self-denial. There are certain things, there are many things. If God opens your eyes in Colossians chapter 2, you will realize that there are certain things that are introduced by men. They're not really doctrines of demons, but they're introduced by men which are supposed to work out a form of righteousness. But in themselves, they have no capacity to impute righteousness. It is only in the mind of Christ. It is only in the acceptance of the salvation by faith through grace that we have the full mindset to know the righteousness that is given to us, that is imputed in us, that is not of our works. Because if it were of our works, we can boast before God, but no one can boast before God. No one can boast before God their righteousness. Righteousness is only imputed. That means David discovered this. He said, blessedness of the man to whom God does not count their sin against. What basically that means is that when God looks at you as a believer in Christ, he only sees Christ. He only sees Jesus. He cannot see you. You are hidden in Christ. And that's why he cannot see you as sinful. He only sees you in Christ if you persist in the faith that you are in Christ. And when you know you are in Christ and Christ is in you, definitely you then have a consciousness that how can I take Christ into sin? And that is when you learn the language. That's why it says, he that speaketh shall know that they speak as the oracles of God. Let your words be seasoned with salt. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That is when you now have that nature that helps you to live that holy life. You receive a nature of righteousness that gives you the power. That's why it says the anointing. There's an anointing within you that teaches you to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. Titus 1:15-16. You have an anointing. The grace of God teaches. There's something special that we receive when we come to Christ and when we come to the full revelation and understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus.
Let me stop there. Welcome, man.
Thank you. Indeed, from you look at Abraham, you realize God is not limited by our own human divisions
And weaknesses.
Unfortunately, the Christian today in the world, we're so added into these different denominations, different, allegiances, very, very different things. Not only Christians. I mean, it's even these other humanity in general. And we believe and we start thinking that, if you're not confessing, following this way, you're like this, you're like that. But I think God chooses you and can pick you from wherever you are. Work with you. It is us that judge ourselves, we judge men, and we, sometimes even start wondering how. This person's past, I know it.
Yeah.
This person was a drug. Was so and so. This may not be true. But when you come to realization that God has the power to restore,
amen,
the purpose to use us for the greatness of His kingdom, then we cease to judge and doubt sometimes. When you're talking about, living in Christ, Christ living in us, and coming to that consciousness of knowing that even as you misuse your own body, which is indeed the temple of Christ, a dwelling place of God, you're really taking, including Jesus in sin, in whatever you're doing.
And He will destroy you. I said, if you destroy God's temple, He will destroy you. Yeah, you're right.
Really, no. But again, our comfort and our hope is in the bread of life. We say that, when you eat the bread of life, when you eat the everlasting bread, then you get life. And He says, when you know Me, you also know My Father in heaven. I think it is simple, just as you put it yesterday. To uncomplicate things, we just need to believe and say, Christ, you all.
Amen. No need to complicate it, Simple.
Simple as that. And it is you we're going to confess.
Yes.
It is you that we're going to speak and ask of our Lord, of Jesus, of our Father in heaven.
Amen.
And life is sorted. Life is sorted.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, I love the way you're coming to truth. Honestly, for me, when you say it, I'm like, exactly. Because you've been transitioned from what you believed, maybe just to say as an Anglican, to now coming to the faith of the Son of God. There is a faith of the Son of God. What was the faith that was in Jesus? That's why He said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. There's a mind that Christ had, that He lived God as His Father. That's why when I say Jesus is the pattern man, He said, I can only do what I see My Father does. Can we learn of Christ? Can we go back and actually study Jesus? And that is a challenge for us. Go ahead. There's something you're saying.
Even in my short journey now, you realize that as you study Jesus, there's nothing He did, one without the guidance and the directive of our Father.
You got it. Yeah.
You would see that even He would speak. And He would say, thank you. For I've come and you have listened, and it is done.
Mm.
You know, nothing he did. That didn't mean to do this because I am Jesus Christ. You know, no. And I think that's, you know, that's where we sometimes go wrong. You know?
Yes.
And we think, I know, making, you know, God has blessed you. You can remember how I used to say, I'm battle hardened. You know, there is no battle.
Mm.
Someone, and I lose. I will go with you up to the end. That was a confession that it is by my mind. It is by my own duty.
Yeah.
You know, but then you can take me, no. Put it before God.
Mm.
Speak to God. Will give you his directing.
Mm.
Well, giants, and I kept on telling, our life is like a chessboard.
Yeah.
I just my pawns here and there, and I will hit you because.
I'm a chess player, so I know exactly what you're talking about, chess.
That it was heavy on my heart, you know. Even if I hit the person and I feel like I'm winning, it came with a heavy price.
Mm.
It was not something to celebrate.
You lost someone in the process, yeah.
You know, when God wins for you your battles, sometimes you're just there. You don't even hold any grudges against this person. You don't hold anything. You indeed just, you know, you want to work with them, you want to forgive them.
Amen.
But the battles you win by yourselves, they come with grudges, they come with, you know, pains and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's indeed true that through Christ, everything is possible and everything is done smoothly.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. No, I'm so excited to hear from you and you know how God is transforming and giving you insights into it. And anyone who understands the true message cannot even be proud. You cannot now say because you own all things, you'll now walk anywhere and steal anything you want and do whatever you want. No, Jesus Christ had the fullness of God, but he still had the humility to ask, to say, no, for you, any time is right for you, but I have to wait for the right time. There's a time he knew the timings, but he waited for God to act, for him to act. Even Abraham, you still go to the land I will show you, not to the land you will choose. Even in a job, go to the land I will show you, go to the job I will show you. And when you land in that job, I tell you, you will find every provision that you needed is available. But if you are in the land that you choose, you will struggle. You will struggle. You will be under slave drivers. Anyway, that is another topic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We thank you for your word. I thank you for the opening of eyes that you're giving us. May your name be blessed, O God, that indeed you're raising up sons in your kingdom. And this is the sonship that you've called us to teach, and you've called me to teach, and I pray that I shall teach it with your blessing, with your anointing, with your revelation, and with your truth. May more sons of God in the kingdom be raised to know that there is no division in the body, there is no denomination in the body, there is no religion in the body, but it is only one in Christ, and Christ in us, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. And as sons, may we be made manifest, that creation will rejoice in the manifestation of the sons of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Blessed day, my brother. Have a good day. And those listening too, have a blessed day. Bye-bye.